Well, may the Spirit guide us, because I feel like he has some things in his heart for us. For me, I just feel hungry personally. I just need him in this way so deeply. And we are just at some of the, you know, we're just at some of the great stuff in this book. It's going to be good. His heart is good. His son. Father, we ask that your Spirit, just the sweet Holy Spirit, he would just carry this class. That it wouldn't be a class, but it would just be a release of the dove to gather us into the place where you receive your son, Lord. We just give him freedom now. We give you, Holy Spirit, we give you freedom to move, to do as you wish for the son's sake in these areas, Lord, to sing this within us, to lift up the lamb within us, to make it more than teaching, but something that we can redeem our life by releasing the son, by overshadowing us with this. Let be it unto us according to thy word. Be it unto us according to thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm just going to do it in the order that I felt the Lord laid it out, and maybe we'll cover what I feel is in the Lord's heart to cover. So we're going to go to chapter 5. That's where we're at. And, you know, someday, sometime, I think it would be interesting to take the context that we've had from chapter 1 through chapter 5 and see the dealing of the Lord, because it's not a chapter-by-chapter thing he's doing. Do you know what I mean? He's been laying groundwork. That's one of the reasons why it pops right now, is because there's been a lot that he's been saying, and it's building. And if you kind of divorce one area from another, it's like you're starting all over. You can't get rooted. You just, oh, it's brand new. But it's not brand new. So I'm going to read from the Message, chapter 5, and where we were last time. And we're not going to stay there, but we're going to build from that flow. Okay, chapter 5, Micah, verse 1. But for now, prepare for the worst, victim daughter. The siege is set against us. And they will humiliate Israel's king, slapping him around like a rag doll. But you, Bethlehem, David's country, the runt of the litter, from you will come the leader who will shepherd rule Israel. Hallelujah. Just so that's where we're going to end in the Message version, but just a kind of different angle of, so the birthing begins in chapter 5. And it's left the types and shadows. I mean, the prophecy is there, but it's left the realm of type and shadow into this is what it's going to look like when you bring forth. He's going to be slapped around like a rag doll. Your king's going to be humiliated. But this is the release of the firstborn in sacrifice. This is the birthing hour. And Bethlehem, you may be the runt of the litter, the smallest among the thousands of Judah, but he's going to come out of you, and it's going to look like this. And he is going to come unto me out of you the way he had before you, from everlasting to everlasting. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's my favorite verse in Micah. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, but I love them all. I just see the Lamb deeply being fulfilled, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in that verse, their hearts. So then we go down to verse 3. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. So we're going to go quick. But therefore, he'll give them up into captivity. He's going to give up these tribes to captivity, which happened in the context of the history of this time period, until the time that they bring forth. And we just heard what the bringing forth was, until they learn that it's not about it's fair, it's unfair, the knowledge of good and evil, but it's about letting the dying of the Lord Jesus release life out of us, release his life out of us. Let him come out of us in his nature of a crucified Christ and a slain lamb. And when that happens, when she travails and he comes forth, she travails and he comes forth, then the remnant of the brethren will return unto the children of Israel. Then there's that regathering. Okay, so you see in that one verse, verse 3, the whole history of the plan of God and the people of God. That's right. They're going to bring forth my son. They're not going to bring him forth. They're going to be scattered. They're going to bring him forth. They're going to be gathered. just all about bringing forth Jesus. Okay. And so at the end of verse 3, in the flow of this chapter, it's like he's come forth. In the flow of the chapter, the king has been humiliated, the crisis has come, the shame has come, and she's travailed, and he has come forth in the land of her captivity. And so now in verse 5, he's manifest, he's formed, he's living through her. She's rooted and grounded, and he's flowing out of her now. So in verse 4, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, which is Father. And they shall abide in him. And now shall he, now that she's travailed and brought him forth, now he shall be great unto the ends of the earth. He, my son will be known through my people to the ends of the earth. Oh, and this man shall be the peace. Oops, that's last class, isn't it? This man, the one she went through shame and persecution and travailed and let manifest, he will be her peace. Isn't it beautiful? When the Assyrian come into our land, when he tread our palace, when he shall raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men, and they shall waste the land of Assyria with a sword, and the land of Nimrod and the entrances thereof. Thus he shall deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land and when he treadeth within our... So it's similar for those who are on Skype. The king is in, we heard it last recently, the king is in the house. The shout of a king is among us. Is the king not in ye? Micah said, Jesus is in us. And when we travail, we let him form, we allow him to be released in sacrifice, we let him go and let him pour out of us in his nature of selfless giving, even unto death, then he is great in our land. We don't get sanctified and strengthened and anointed and consecrated. He stands up and he deals with Assyria and he deals with Edom and he deals with pride and he deals with ambition and he deals with our fakey ways and he deals with our jealousy and he deals with our high-mindedness. He stands up and he, from the ends of the earth, not you know, Mexico to Russia or Australia to Texas or... No, from the top of my head to the, not even physically, spiritually, from all that is in me, my inward parts, my mind, my heart, my inward being, his temple. He stands up and he deals with everything that's not him, giving glory to his Father, his Father's house. It's my Father's house, you. And he deals with it. And that there should be one hallelujah in this room. Just one. Give me one. Hallelujah. Thank you. Just one. Not for me, for Jesus. I mean, my God, amen, for the love of God. This man shall be the peace. And the remnant of, verse 7, and the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as the dew. Okay, well, we're going to skip there, keep going. So thine hand shall be lifted up against thine enemies, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. So now, here the cross isn't just a doctrine like we were in Colossians, the Gnostics, or a teaching. It is the power of God because his son, we are rooted and grounded in Christ crucified in such a way that the cross, for ye are dead, it's real. It's not a teaching. It's a source in us that annihilates everything that's not him. It's a source in us. He is a source in us. So all thine enemies shall be cut off. Why is it now in chapter 5 that all the enemies are cut off? Because she travailed and birthed him in her crises. She went with the Lamb, not by imitating him or going into a death similar to him or suffering kind of for him. She let him come out in that crisis that is the cross in our life, that is his cross in our story. You know, he'll never walk the streets of Jerusalem. What's that? Della Rosa, the Via Della Rosa. He's never going to walk the Via Della Rosa again. That was 2,000 years ago. But he's going to walk a path inside of your heart. It's going to be the Via Della Rosa in Debbie and Caitlin and Mallory and Kelly and Lindsay and Jim and Jason. And he's going to walk it. It's going to be the same Lamb of God. Not a different Lamb. Not one kind of like us. It's going to be the same Spirit in that man, Jesus of Nazareth. In Caitlin of Denton. It's going to be the same Jesus. And he's going to walk through that shame. And he's going to walk those streets through our heart and our circumstances. And when we let him and we don't shut him down, we're going to bring him forth. And when that happens, he's going to stand up inside of us. And he's going to start cutting off that death that he died on the cross. That wasn't just 2,000 years ago either. It was. But Paul said in, Holy Spirit, help me here. Mallory might remember, it's a past work with present and continuing effects. I am crucified with Christ. I am, that word am, is it's perfect tense. Yeah, it's the perfect tense, meaning I am crucified with Christ means it happened 2,000 years ago. It has power to, but it's continuing. The reality is continuing right now, and it will in the future. So that cross that happened 2,000 years ago, when he stands up, he is releasing the power of that death, and even now. Hallelujah. And what is it doing? It is cutting off all of our enemies. Not out here, in here. I mean, we say, how do I get rid of this? What do I do, Lord? You travail to bring forth the Son, and he'll get rid of it. Amen. Jesus, you are everything. You are not just a side thing, and then dealing with the enemy is, okay, let's deal with the enemy, and then we're going to worship the Lord. Let's deal with the enemy, and then we're going to get in the Word. Let's deal with the enemy. No, you get in the Word and let the Word deal with the enemy.
Amen.
You worship the Lord and let the living God deal with the enemy. Because he's going to stand up in the power of Christ crucified and all that his death wrought back then, right now, and for the future. He's going to release it into your being. Isn't that what Randy said rooted was? When it begins to flow. Well, who's flowing? My God, it's the crucified lamb. What's coming out of him? Living waters that will annihilate everything that's not him and give life to everything that wants him because it's him out of his death. So, oh my gosh, cutting off. So, you know, people say, forgive me, Lord. This is how I fight my battles. No, I don't fight my battles. This is how he fights my battles. He fights them. He stands up and he takes care of business because Kelly is the business that needs taking care of. My God, how am I going to take care of me? I am the problem. No, I am. I am. I am the problem. So my Lord, oh my God, he begins to cut off. And in that day it shall come to pass, verse 10, that I will cut off your horses out of the midst of thee. I'll destroy your chariots. He's cutting off all that strength that wasn't coming out of Christ crucified, that wasn't power out of weakness. Verse 11, I'll cut off the cities of thy land. I'm going to throw down your strongholds. I've got these strongholds, Lord, these cities in me that are fortified and built. And high. Remember in the beginning chapter, we talked about those cities that were like formed and high and the capital cities of Samaria and Jerusalem. Like, I'll just take them down, man. He's like, I'm going to cut them off. I'll throw them down. This is the power of his life in us, doing what we could never do and religion could never do and teaching can never do and ministry can never do and dedicate. This is what only he can do. Yeah. Only he can do it. I'll cut off witchcraft out of, praise Jesus, witchcraft and soothsaying, Lord, all my manipulation, my deceitful, slimy ways. I've got to make my Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm a mess. I go, Lord, what's going on in me? What am I doing, Ronald? He's like, you are manipulating. You are deceitful. What is your true motive? Your true motive is not just to release Christ. You're a deceiver and a manipulator. Witchcraft and soothsaying. I say, yes, Lord, take care of it. Bring it down. I ain't going to hide it. That's all Kelly. She's a nightmare. Take her out. Take her down and fill her with Christ. I love it. Verse 13, in your graven images, I'm going to cut off. In your standing images out of the midst of thee, the things you think are Jesus and all that junk, you will no more worship the work of your hands. I'm going to pluck up the groves out of the midst of you. You see, he's not saying around you. He's saying in the midst of you. And I'm going to destroy your cities. Glory to God. Could there be any sweeter love? You know, I don't want the poem that says, I love you, lovey-dovey. Roses are red, violets are blue. I love you, boo-hoo-hoo. Sweet, sweet, sweet. You know, I want him to say, I'm going to destroy your cities. I'm going to cut off your witchcraft. I'm going to stand up inside of you and fill you with me and take everything that's not me out of you. Yes. This is my Valentine to you. What do you think, lady? I can either Google, I can just blubber over your soul. I can fill you with me. I'll take Micah chapter 5. Yes, Lord. Amen. Verse 15. I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Glory to God. Okay, at the end of chapter 5, everyone should just be going, hallelujah. Good God, let's bring forth the Son. He's going to take care of all our problems. He is going to take us to the Father, and he's going to take us away and take us to the Father. Glory to God. So listen to, now we got verse 6. Chapter 6 will make sense now. Hear ye now, after what we just said in chapter 5 and before, what the Lord has to say. Arise, contend before the mountains, these things that are governments. Let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O mountains, the Lord's controversy. Strong foundations of the earth. The Lord has a controversy with his people, and he's going to start pleading with Israel now. He's like, okay, all you strong foundations that won't crumble, all you mountains that won't fall, all you hills, I want you to listen, because I have a controversy with you after all I've just said, and I'm going to plead with you. See, these aren't just scriptures. This is God's heart crying out through a man that looked like an idiot, just a fool. Like, what are you saying? You're too emotional. You're too, you know what I'm saying? But he's feeling this. He's feeling it. He's feeling God. And he goes, okay, oh my people, what have I done unto thee? The answer to that is, I put my Son in you. That's what I did to you. I impregnated you with Christ. And wherein have I wearied you? Testify against me. How have I wearied you? What burden have I put on you apart from bringing forth the Son I put in you, who will bear all your burdens by his life? How have I wearied you? I haven't burdened you. I gave you my only Son, and he will do everything in you that you can't do. How have I wearied you? Tell me. Testify against me. Can you hear the Father asking this? What have I done? What is it? Why? He continues, for I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I mean, I did it by giving my firstborn slaughtered son. I brought you up through my Son out of the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of servants to be sons by Christ. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam before you. Verse 5, oh, my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, consulted and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim to Gilgal, that you might know the righteousness of the Lord. That's what we talked about this afternoon. He said, the king's in you. I can't curse you. My son's in you. And remember the incredible, gorgeous way he saw them? And he said, do you remember what I said through Balaam about how I see my son in you and you in him? Do you remember my words? Do you remember what I did in Egypt? What have I done? Testify against me. What have I not done in giving you everything that I have that's valuable, that will bring you through this? Verse 6, wherewith now, this is their kind of their answer. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the Most High God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves of a year old? How will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Or how about 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, my firstborn? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Oh, he showed you, oh man, what is good. He showed you his son. And he also showed you what he requires of you. He does not require us to be the son, only to prepare ourselves to bring him forth. What is he required of you? One of the most, to me, I don't care if everyone in the world hates me for this. This is my pet peeve of the book of Micah. The interpretations of this verse drive me crazy, but I love you, Jesus, and I'm not going to go with that spirit. I love you, Jesus. I get upset because it takes the glory away from my Jesus. But what hath the Lord required of thee but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before thy God? Well, he's saying, all I require of you is to treat your neighbor okay. You know, before my son comes forth, at least don't kill one another. Do justly. You know, stay under the law until the seed comes, please. Love mercy. What is loving mercy? I'll tell you. It will tell you at the very last chapter and the very last verses. It will prove this point. But loving mercy is loving the fact that God would bring forth his son out of us. That's the mercy of God. God, I love it that you would bring your son out of the biggest reprobate I know, me. I love mercy. And and I'll show it to other people just because I love it, but I love mercy. And to walk humbly, that's getting good ground ready for the seed. He said, can you see the context of his questioning here? He said, all I've required of you is to, you know, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. But I've showed you what's good. It's my son. And in verse 9, then he goes, now the voice starts crying. The Lord's voice starts to cry into the city. And the men of wisdom, they'll see the name. They'll hear the rod and who had appointed it. They're going to understand this is about my son. They're not going to make loving mercy, walking humbly and stuff, a substitute for the son. A culture called Christianity that doesn't need Christ to be the son. Just do these things. Okay. He's crying out, you men of wisdom, you know, you've seen, you've heard. You know who has appointed it. It's the Father. And he goes, now listen, hey, verse 10, hey, are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked and the scant measure that is abominable? Listen, you want to offer that up to me? Hey, shall I count, this is verse 11, shall I count them pure with the wicked balances, the bag of deceitful? You want me to take all this stuff that you're calling my son and accept it as pure when it's a wicked balance and it's a bag of deceitful weights? It's an abomination. It's not my son. It's full of motives and intents that are selfish and hidden and darkness. Shall I count them pure? Verse 12, for the rich men they're full of violence. And the inhabitants thereof, they speak lies. Their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee and making thee desolate because of thy sins. Thou shalt eat but not be satisfied, and thy casting down. This is the first verse the Lord landed on when he asked me to really dive into Micah. This verse right here. This sentence. And thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but you will not deliver, and that which you deliver will I give up to the sword. He's saying you're going to cast down, and these things are going to bring you to travail, and it will be in the midst of thee. And you will take hold, but you will not deliver because your heart isn't set on bringing forth my son. It's set on all these other things that are not my son. And so you won't deliver. You won't bring forth, and I will give you up to the sword. Well, he does that on Calvary. Everything in us that wants to bring forth something else than Jesus was also crucified in Christ. I mean, isn't it wonderful that he deals with every motive, every intent, and he doesn't fix it. He crucifies it and then gives himself as the answer. Isn't it beautiful? It's beautiful. He's saying, are you asking me to take all these things that aren't my son and count them pure and receive them into my bosom? Are you asking that? Or would you like me to say, this is not my son? There's deceitful weights here. This is not the spirit of my son. And deliver it to the sword so there can be hope of bringing forth the real one later. Because that's the one I'll receive. And he's in you. He's in there. He's in there. Glory to God. Verse 15, thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil. The sweet wine, but thou shalt not drink. He's saying all those wonderful things that have to do with being the branches of the vine. You know, the oil that comes and fills the fruit. And, you know, the wine that comes. All the things that would just fill us with him and his beauty, his nature, his life. He says, you're not going to have that. Because why? Because the statutes of Omri are kept. The works of the house of Ahab. You walk in their counsels. That I should make thee a desolation, an abomination, a hissing, a reproach. Okay, so chapter 7 is incredible because it shows the response of the people to this. And it is, to me, it is like one of those things you can hold on to for the rest of your life and just say, Lord, oh my God, I'll bring forth your son no matter what I've done or what happens. This is your heart. But we're not going to go there. This will be our last class, 7. But right now, it's just not the condemnation or conviction of it that I feel the dove landing on. I mean, I think we have to see the scriptures for what they are, you know. But I feel like the tenor of the Father's heart is, my son is in you. and contend with me about these thousand rivers of oils. Like, those were the good things. Shall I take your firstborn, your thousand rivers of oils? See, these aren't your deceitful weights and your impure. He's talking for both sides. He's not just saying bad, or he's taking all of it, the good and the bad that we offer up, and he's saying, do you really think about it apart from feeling guilty and bad about yourself, because that's not the Spirit's intent, I don't believe. But think about it from the Father's view. Let's get out of ourselves and into Him. And he's going, just forget about yourself. And they go, Father's going, do you really want me to take these rivers of oils that you call Jesus, but they're not, and these deceitful weights that are impure that you call them my son? Wouldn't you rather that I deliver that all to the sword and you travail in birth, because he is in you. He's in you. He's in you. Remember what he said? The first thing he said was, what have I not done? What have I not done? What have I done unto thee? Where have I wearied thee? You say, I put my son in you. What more could I do? This is a father. You know, what more could I do? I put him. He's there right now. So let's quit offering all this other stuff up to me. And let's let him, like Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through like 4 say, let's let him come forth. Let's travail in birth to let him release and sacrifice in these circumstances, in the Via della Rosa of our daily walk, in the inner chambers of our hearts and minds. Let's let that same lamb walk, that son walk through us, and let's travail to let him live and give and be, birth him in sacrifice. Let him stand up and deal with these things, and let the son just be glory, glory, glory to the Father. Just a million lambs on the altar of our heart, rising in sweet say, you know, just let the Son be the sacrifice, be the rivers of oil, be the intent of your heart. Let my Son come forth. Bring him forth from, what does it say in Micah chapter 5, verse 3 or so? Verse 2, the one whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Let him come out of you, Bethlehem, Judah, the runt of the litter, the smallest of the let him come unto me as of old, as from each everlasting ways. Let him rise. Let him rise. Just, you can do it right now. Lord, where's that area in me that I'm so off, Lord? I'm so off. And I want to offer up a mountain of spices and a river of oils to satisfy your heart that I'm sorry and I want to please you. And now I look over here and I see how deceitful my motives are and I just can't fix them. They're like a snake that keeps going and weaving itself around. He goes, listen, don't worry about all that. That's you. Travail in birth to bring forth my son and he'll take care of it. And I'll get what I want. Just the king, the shout of a king is among you. As thy counselor perishes, the king not in thee, O daughter of Zion. He's there. What have I not done? I put him in you. And he says, just, you're going to expedite your journey from me to the altar of the Father's bosom by putting all those things to the side and lifting up the lamb and travailing for him to really be our life. And then he's going to take care of all those things. You won't even realize he's cutting this off, cutting that off, possessing that. You don't even realize. You'll be like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about myself. This is how he fights my battles. He fills me with his life. This is how he takes down those enemies that I swear I could spend 20 years, another 20 years, another 20 years. I could live my whole life trying to defeat and never spend a minute at the feet of Jesus just wanting him to come forth in me. Or I could give myself to bringing him forth, to knowing him into such a measure that I'm not a Gnostic at the end of the day, but I'm letting him walk down the Via della Rosa of my heart in my circumstances and give himself through me, and he just starts standing up. This man will be the peace. This man will be my peace. He will, and he's going to cut out everything, but he's going to ascend to the Father as of old, as of from everlasting. Can you just hear the heart of the Father in that chapter, chapter 5 and chapter 6, crying out, pleading, contending. You know, and I don't feel like we're meant to, gosh, it went so fast. Holy Spirit, you're just a sweetie. I didn't feel like we're supposed to labor in those verses. Those are the verses he came to share. But labor and birth. And look, it's only a little past 8:30. So I think we should pray. I think we should just do it. I know we got people on Skype. I don't know how that's going to work because I'm sure they want it. They're hungry. They're not up at 2:30 in the morning for nothing. But I think we should pray. I think we should just, you know, I don't want to add anything to that. I think it's pretty clear. The scriptures just cry. They're just crying. And I know that this is what the Lord is saying to me. I'm not speaking anything but what I'm crying out for. These are just my verses, personal verses. And I want him. I need him in these ways. I need to clear the channels and just focus on Jesus. And how wonderful that this class was the one always preceded by Colossians, which is saying that every time, shouting it out, crying it out. Yeah.
Just in chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it sounds like punishment, but I just feel him being faithful to the seed and to also the people who are supposed to bring forth that seed. You shall eat, but you won't be satisfied. He's not saying, I'm not. He's saying, like, what you're eating is not going to fill you.
Yeah.
What you're eating is not going to fill you. You're going to try and bring forth, but if you're not bringing forth my son, it's death. It's going to the sword, so you're not going to deliver. And he's saying, you will sow, but you won't, you'll sow, but you won't reap until I have reaped what I have sown. And you shall tread olives, but you won't anoint anything with oil until you bring forth him who is supposed to be anointed with that oil. And you will have sweet wine, but you won't drink it because it's not the blood of the new covenant, which is found. So it's like, I'm just remaining faithful. I'm just telling you guys how it is.
Yeah, it's just that.
If it's not the son, then it's not.
It's not the son. You can be nice all day, but you still can't accept it.
It's not him. And so I don't know. I mean, I don't want anyone to. I'm not sure how now to proceed. We could just proceed with a big group prayer, or if there's individuals who want prayer and we cannot pray for one another. I feel in my own life, but also I think others might resonate in this way. I want to up the momentum. I want to say game on, and I just want to redeem a little bit of the time where I'm messing with all this. I'm trying to fight my battles. Instead of bring forth Christ and let him fight him. And I want to set my heart right now in a new way. And I want the Holy Spirit to be the one who keeps guiding me through the Word of God as revealed by the Holy Spirit. This is what God wants, man. This is, if we see it from God by the Holy Spirit, that's going to be a fire under our bones, right? We're going to be like, I want it. So I think what we'll do is say a closing prayer. Yeah. Well, for the recording's sake, we're going to say a closing prayer, and then we'll stop recordings. We'll stop your recording, and I'll stop my phone, and then we can, and then at that point we'll be dismissed. Let's say that, be dismissed early, and then if anybody wants prayer from the body that is here, then we'll pray for one another. And if people on Skype want to be included in that prayer, we can get their names. I think the best way to do it is get their names and pray for them and sign off and let them know that they're covered, and that we're going to pray for them tonight. And then the Europeans can also go to bed in the arms of Jesus. So let's say that closing prayer, and then we'll stop and we'll pray. Lord, we just thank you for, Father, giving us the Son. What more could you do? Son, thank you. Thank you for being the one who will, you live in us, you wait, you're amazing, you're beyond all wordings. But when we allow you to, you will stand up and you will give yourself and you will rise and you will become our peace and you will rule from within us and you will reign and you will cut off all these enemies and you will destroy them with the light, brightness of your coming, with the fullness of your being. You will be that which pushes them out. They will have no place. They will have no ability to stand. They will have no place anymore. You will have taken your place, which they had usurped, counterfeited, and tread upon. You will possess this land, Joshua. And so, Father, we want to focus our heart on your Son. Holy Spirit, help us as we travail to bring him forth in our story. And Lord, we just don't have time anymore for teaching and learning. We want to travail and bring forth. This is our cry. This is our heart. This is our prayer. For your sake, Father, for your sake, Jesus, and for your sake, Holy Spirit, and for your body's sake, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're just going to take a 2-minute break so those who need to go and feel to go are able to do so. And we can shut down Skype and a few things. And then those who want prayer, we'll just pick up in maybe 2 to 3 minutes and get some prayers. That's okay. I'm going to shut my equipment down as well.